Along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Red FM. Dan Casey back with you after being out the last 2 weeks, and two disappointing weeks for Cork GAA they were. He's now firmly going back to the club scene, and we'll get to the Red FM Hurling Leagues later on. But earlier in the week, I was lucky enough to catch up with former Dublin footballer Kevin McMenamin, where I asked him about his day job of sports psychologist and would he have advice for the Cork hurlers going forward. The interview was with thanks to AIB. Enjoy.
Like, is there advice you'd give to those players if you were in there with them? Like, how do you approach that as a player?
Football or hurling?
Well, hurling.
Hurling. I don't know. I suppose the brutal truth of it is that the players and the coaches will have to just dig into what was going on in the Galway game, or I'm sure they did it in the Tipperary game with the Tipperary game last year, just to see, well, what's my response to pressure like, or, and is it that Galway are a better side? You know, like, the sense out there, and the bit of hurling I do follow is they're the best hurlers in the country. You know, I know they were missing a couple of players through injuries and stuff like that, but they should be able to do it. So maybe it's just digging in what's actually going on during those moments, and I would have great faith that they'll be able to figure it out. Not that I'll be cheering them on or anything like that after the Hammerdale Dubs last year in the semi-final, but I would have great faith that they'll figure it out if they do it. And again, it's the brutal truth. And again, Dublin teams, we would have had to do that after we had a collapse against Donegal in 2014, should I say. And a lot of the big wins and teams come from, you know, the horrible digging into the filth of what actually was going on in a big game, and how it's a stress response, how we responded to pressure, you know.
Is that something that can be fixed if it doesn't seem like it's there now, or is it just with some people it might never?
It's absolutely malleable and changeable. And look, maybe there's nothing that maybe necessarily needs to be fixed. It's just like learning some skills and learning different ways. I don't want to be preaching at the Cork guys and kicking them when they're down, but there's absolutely our response to pressure. We once we have the knowledge, the self-awareness about what's going on, and because there's two things, there's the individuals and the 15 individuals on the pitch understanding, well, where is my head going during these moments? Like, what's my behavior, my body language like? What's my breathing like? What's my heart rate like during these key moments? But then there's the collective, you know, and we've seen it with a number of teams. They say it happens a lot in English soccer, that there's this collectivism, that panic can be a little bit contagious because of the history and the pressure and stuff like that. So I don't know if I'd call it a collective collapse, but there's a panic is contagious. Do you know what I mean? And if panic is contagious, so is composure. Do you know what I mean? So I'm sure they'll figure out ways of dealing with momentum. And look, they're one of the best teams in the country, and they don't need me telling them what to do. So I'm sure they'll figure it out.
With Cork football, felt like you got a big boost with the minor All Ireland, but it wasn't the only comeback Keith was involved with. You had a run in with him a few years ago.
Yeah, well, I was helping coaching the under-20s, the Dublin under-20s a few years, or 2019 or 2018, I forget the year. But I think we were 10 up in the first half and all this sort of stuff, and we scoring goals and conceding goals to beat the band. And talk about momentum swings, it was something that we learned we had to do, and it was a tough loss for a few of them. So it was great to see some of those guys get their All-Ireland in 2023, like the Ross McGarry's and Dave O'Hanlon and a few of these guys that were able to win a senior title, even though we didn't get it on the day.
Lastly, I don't think I ever asked you your prediction for the Dublin Kerry game.
I predict Dublin to beat them by a couple of points. Yeah. So that's maybe it's me going with my heart, but I just really think they'll test Kerry. And look, we'll see how they get on. But I would be hopeful that they'll get the job done.
What key area is going to, or a few key areas, do you think is going to
turn tonight? Like, for me, it's kickouts and scoring efficiency. Do you know what I mean? I think it's going to be so important. And you know, Dublin had probably kicked more wides than would be you'd hope, particularly in the first half against Galway. And I was worried that the game was taking on a similar shape to the the quarterfinal in 2024 when our efficiency was down and they beat us. But I'd be hopeful that the Dublin accuracy will match Kerry's, and that we'll have a good go on their kickouts. Do you know what I mean? I think we have the size that will be able to handle them, I hope, and I'm sure they'll be ready. And I think they hopefully will test the Kerry guys more than they have been.
No, I haven't done a research properly, but come 5th of September, are you involved with any of the lads? I know, I think it was Emmett Brennan I was speaking to before.
Yeah, I worked with Emmett in the 2021 Tokyo Games. I really enjoyed working with him. He's gone pro since and doing really well. A really good guy to look out for. Paddy Donovan would have been through the system. I didn't do a huge amount with Paddy, but Katie, I'd love to work with Katie, but I never was there. Katie was gone by the time I arrived in boxing. I did 7 years in Irish boxing. So there's a few guys that are there, but look, I'll be watching as a fan and just as an Irish man who just loves Katie Taylor, and he'll be so proud to see her here. So I'll be looking out for tickets as the month, this summer goes on.
I'll give you the media pass.
Yeah, listen, I'm available.
Is there a difference between sports psychology and boxing compared to a GAA match or soccer? Or?
Look, there is, and the context is different, but look, the challenges are all the same. It's self-belief, it's how to deal with pressure, how to respond to big moments. I've done stuff with people outside of sport in different domains as well, and it's the same conversations come up time and time again. So I worked with Team Ireland, you know, so you're trying to build a team atmosphere, but also they're traveling together, living together on camps, but then they have to go in and there's only one person in the ring, you know what I mean? There's coaches shouting in, there's people cheering, but it's down to you. So there is a little bit of that where you can rely on other people to dig you out of holes in team sports, but a lot of the individual challenges are very similar, actually.
Yeah, great to chat to Dublin legend Kevin McMenamin there. Well, this All-Ireland semi-final between Louth and Mayo has thrown in. 7 minutes gone on the clock, and it's Mayo 1-1 to Louth's 2 points. The Mayo looks like they've just fired over another point, so it's 1-3 to 2 points there. We'll keep an eye on proceedings as the evening goes on. Well, the Red FM Hurling Leagues were and are underway this weekend. Two mouth-watering clashes in the upper echelons of the competition, with Sarahs beating Middleton and Bright Rovers beating Erin's Own. The man who was there for us was Harry Hayden, and here he is with the report. All right, well, the Red FM Hurling League finals have, come and gone anyway in terms of Division 1 and Sioux. Sarsfields, they got to win in Division 1 over Middleton on a scoreline of 2-17 to Middleton's 2-16. And Harry, you were there for us. What did you make of the proceedings last night?
Yeah, I mean, it was a decent game, in all fairness. Perfect weather. Obviously, I was a bit concerned going in that it was going to be almost too hot, but once throwing happened, it was the perfect conditions, not much wind either. So it was perfect conditions for a game of hurling, and great crowd as well. But Sars, they just got off to a brilliant start. I mean, that's kind of what won it for them, two goals after 3 minutes. That would, you know, that'd be enough to put any team in the ground, really. And two brilliantly taken goals by Barry O'Flynn and Killian Murphy for Sars. And that was kind of the difference of the two. Middleton, they sort of huffed and puffed, but Sars, they just always kind of had a 3 or 4 point gap on them, so they were always kind of able to just keep that at arm's length. And I mean, Middleton, all fairness, they made a real push towards the end. Conor Leanne was unstoppable for Middleton. He got a brilliant goal at the end, which made the scoreline look a lot better, like it was only a point difference then, but it was literally the last play of the game, so it didn't really matter. But, you know, it's four titles in a row for Sars. They're looking fairly good going into the championship.
Well, how good was Lahan? He got 2-11 was his total tally out of that 2-16. I know 1-8 from the freeze, but still, he must have had an incredible form to that type of scoring.
Yeah, like, it's kind of one of them ones where you don't realise when it's happening how good he's been, and then you're kind of it was one point I was thinking, is actually anyone else scored other than Conor Leahan? But that's just the sort of experience he has for Middleton. I mean, he's been such a crucial player for them. The goal he got at the end was absolutely superb, just took it so well. It was literally like, it was just a mistake that it wasn't even a mistake really, it was just a poor pass from Sars out the back, and not many players I'm sure in kind of Cork would be able to punish it like he would be able to. But yeah, he was absolutely superb, but just didn't have enough really in the end. Middleton, unfortunately.
Yeah, and Sars as well, they made it 4 Red FM Hurling League titles in a row, which is incredible going. You spoke to manager Johnny Crowley after, which we'll play the audio after this. What type of sense did you get from Johnny about the victory?
Yeah, Johnny, he's a very interesting character. Like, he's a really nice fella as well. But like when he's on that sideline, he's like a man possessed. He's up and down. Like, I'd say he probably does more running than some of the hurlers themselves. Like, but no, I think he was overall pretty happy with the league phase. Like, they've used it quite well. Like, they only won 6 of their 9 regular league games, when Middleton have won all 9 of their regular league games. So like, Middleton going into this looked like the sort of favourites because they had the form. But I think Stars, the kind of difference is that they can just turn on really, and like, they just have that, the quality. They have that experience. Obviously, they've been under that management of Crowley for a while now, so he kind of knows what he's going to get out of that team. Obviously, they won the championship last year. Obviously, 4 league titles in a row is fairly ridiculous. Like, it was like 2022 is the last time someone else other than Sars won the league. So they're fairly unstoppable in that sense. But I think he was just really happy that he was able to use the league phase, one, to sort of experiment as much as possible. He knows probably his best 15 now, and also, you know, I mean, not only have they experimented, they've also gone out and won the league as well, which is the added bonus to it as well.
What did you get the sense of from the playing group? In a way, they must feel maybe internally disrespected enough. None of them were selected to be on the Cork curling panel for the year.
Yeah, like, it's definitely something that they'd be wanting to prove, obviously. Look, I suppose you could probably look at the Cork senior hurling team as well. And like, look, we don't want to talk about Saturday, obviously, again, but like, they might feel a bit aggrieved now that they didn't get picked, especially now that they've had such a poor year. Like, we're obviously out of the All-Irelands. We didn't win Munster. We didn't win the league. So they obviously, they sort of were playing like that last night with a bit of a point to prove. Like, they've got they've got a great mix as well of experienced players and older players. Like, Barry O'Flynn is a good young player as well in there. He was superb, got the goal, obviously. But yeah, they have a good mix of good or young and experienced players. But I'm sure a lot of those players who didn't get picked, or, you know, there was a few obviously in the training panel at the start of the season, they'll feel pretty aggrieved that they didn't get picked, especially now that Cork's, you know, senior hurling championship season is over now. And they'll be hoping to prove Ben O'Connor wrong, and come obviously next season they'll be in the senior panel, hopefully.
Yeah, well, you're able to bring on Dan Kearney and that Sarsfield team. You know, you're doing fairly well, in fairness to them. Well, we'll move it on, and we'll talk about Bright Rovers. They were Division 2 champions. How did they get on?
Yeah, a good win for Bright Rovers. I mean, they've just been going up and up, really. Obviously, won Division 3 last year. They're back in the Premier Championship as well for the first time in 6 years now. So this was kind of like, it was sort of, obviously any of these Division 2 games, they're kind of bonus games because, you know, you're already promoted. Obviously, you still want to get over the line and win a trophy. But Bright Rovers, again, they just got off to a really good start, got a goal within the opening sort of 5 or 10 minutes. And they were just air and zone. They just, I don't think Brendan O'Reilly, I spoke to him after the game, he wasn't too pleased, especially with that first half performance. They just were not at it at all, air and zone. Now, it was like sweltering conditions. Like, it was 28 degrees up in Lisgoold. There was a fair bit of breeze as well going against Aaron Zone in that first half, but they'll be pretty disappointed at how poor they were in that first half, because Bride's Rovers, they just opened up a bit of a gap, and they were never able to close that gap, really. That it was never, I think, anything under a sort of 6-point game almost at any point. So yeah, it was a fairly comfortable win in the end for Bride Rovers.
How did the Cork lads get on in Brian and Owen Roach, as well as Robbie O'Flynn there as well on the Aaron's own side then?
Yeah, again, like, I don't know, maybe it was a bit of a hangover from last week. Obviously, like, a fairly grueling defeat last week. But it's obviously Galway in the senior hurling championship. But like, as I said, it never really looked like they kind of got going, anyone from Aaron's own. They also, I think they'd be quite disappointed with their discipline. There was a real lack of discipline. His name escapes me now, but there was 2 players from end zone. They were very lucky not to get red cards. I think they were very lucky. You know, there was no sort of, the ref didn't properly see what happened, to sort of off the wall incidents, and that will just be frustrating for Brendan O'Reilly, because he obviously knows how good they are. They're a side who obviously, like, they're not playing in the Premier Championship this year for the first time, I think, since 1988 or something. So that's obviously, you know, they're sort of in a rebuilding phase, you could say, because they're in the Senior A Championship now for the first time in so many years. Their main goal will just be to get back to that Premier Championship by the end of the year. But yeah, I think Brendan O'Riordan, that's something that he'll definitely have to look on in the next few weeks, the discipline for sure, and make sure that those senior hurlers are, one, obviously fully fit, and one, also just fully fit, fully committed, and fully ready to give it their all for the championship season.
All right, Harry Hayden, we'll park there. You enjoyed your two matches anyway.
Yeah, sure. It's got a decent bit of sun anyway, and hopefully a bit of a tan. So we'll take it.
You better enjoy it before the championship starts now.
Yeah, of course. Well, we have nothing to look forward to in terms of the 19th of July. So just looking forward to that. So.
All right, brilliant stuff, Harry Hayden. Thanks so much for speaking to us.
No worries, Dan. See you out.
And here's Harry chatting to Sarah's manager, Johnny Crowley.
Johnny, congratulations, Division 1 League champions. How's that sound?
Yeah, it's good. We're delighted. I think it's our fourth year on the trot, so it's something to be very, very proud of within the group. I suppose one of the key things we always say to the lads is making memories, and this passes fairly lively. So your career is so quick and so sudden. It's 10 years goes without we're even thinking about it. So it's credit to the lads inside the dressing room. It's the fourth senior hurling league title on the trot, and Well, again, I suppose we didn't come down, the cup wasn't the be all and end all of anything for us. Like, it was about performance and learnings and findings and see what we could do out of the game, but we're absolutely delighted to win it at the end of the day.
Yeah, obviously, like, you won six out of your nine regular league games, but would you kind of say you used that league phase really well because you sort of probably experimented really well perfectly now for the championship?
Yeah, I suppose, look, every team is at the same. Like, you block off your season in terms of what you want to do, do you go hurling, do you go S&C, whatever you do. So we stuck to our guns early doors. We done an awful lot of S&C, and we kind of stuck to that, and we didn't do much hurling. But then when we came back there in kind of middle of April, start of May, we've done an awful lot, but we still have an awful lot to do. We've made a lot of errors out there, and maybe one or two bad decisions, but look, it's the findings and learnings we get from that now for championship.
And obviously Milton, and all four of yours, you've played them quite a few times now. It must be sort of familiar when you play them in these sort of finals, though, and must be great preparation in case you didn't face them.
It is. I mean, look, Middleton are probably one of the top three teams in Cork. There's no question about that. They've a very good management team. They've a brilliant trainer, and there's some fantastic players. And every time we prepared to play Middleton, we know exactly what we're going to get. We're going to massive battle. They're going to be ferocious in what they do. They're going to be very structured. They're very organised, and it'll take a hell of a lot to turn them over. So look, we're delighted to beat them again. Yeah.
Just having a quick look at the game. I mean, you obviously got up to such a brilliant start. How much does it help when you get two goals after 3 minutes?
Yeah, it gives you a platform to go at. I suppose there were two brilliant goals. I think it was Barry and Killian Murphy. They took them very well. But it was the pace that we went at early doors was most impressive. From the managerial point of view, that we intended to do that, and we done it, and credit to the lads inside. They probably implemented the game plan to a T, and especially early doors. We got some terrific scores, but I suppose we lost our shape there through the middle of the second half and maybe the end of the first half. So that's something we need to look at and work on again.
And just a word for Barry, who had a brilliant form today, didn't he?
Yeah, look, Barry's a terrific young fella. I suppose the best thing to say about Barry is he's so coachable, and he wants to learn all the time, and he's the kind of a guy that you can talk to in training. You can tell him his wrongs and his rights, and he takes everything on board, and he's a very intelligent lad, and he's a wickedly intelligent hurler. He's got a great hand in him. He's great pace, great speed, and he knows where the posts are as well, which is a big bonus.
And obviously championship now, you've got a bit of a break until your first game against Charleville. How tough is that game going to be, and also sort of what's the next sort of few weeks will look like?
Yeah, so we have a game again next weekend, and after that then we'll probably just taper it down. We've 3 weeks to go, so we're under no illusions as to the massive task we had down in Castone Roach. We'd have a huge respect for Charleville in terms of their management team and what they do. They're very structured, they're very disciplined, their setup is very good, and they'll come all guns blazing down in Castone Roach, and unless we're ready, prepared and willing to go to the bitter end again, we'll be in trouble down there. So again, we're under no illusions, and we look forward to the challenge, but we have to be ready for that.
And obviously you've had a hugely successful tenure since taking over, but how important is it you kind of don't take these days for granted because they don't come around every year either.
Yeah, no, it's I suppose I said it at the start, you know, it's about building memories, and you know, it is, you can look back on these but you can't dwell on them either, you know. I mean, it's parked up now, as far as we're concerned. The league, there's a line through the league now, and we'll go back at it on Tuesday night, and we'll prepare as best we can and digitally as we can for Charleville and Castle and Roach.
Johnny, congratulations.
Yeah, brilliant stuff from Johnny Crowley there. And here's captain Jack O'Connor.
So delighted to be joined here by Jack O'Connor, the winning captain for Sarahs. Jack, congratulations. Division 1 League champions, how's that sound?
Yeah, that's brilliant. I think it's our fourth year in a row now. Just goes to show the quality of the team really over the last few years since lads came in. So yeah, look, we're just delighted to get another trophy.
I was going to say, yeah, the last time someone else other than Sarahs won it was 2022. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, just credit to the lads, in fairness, like, just shows the quality of the panel. Enjoyed that team, probably changed a lot since those 4 years or 5 years, so just a credit to everyone involved last few years.
Middleton, obviously an old foe of yours, you've faced them quite a few times. You think facing them last year in the final, and obviously you played them just under 2 weeks ago, helped in the game?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose last week they gave us a bit of a trimming, so that's always going to be a bit of motivation going into the league final. But as I said there a while ago, I've been playing Middleton League finals and county finals since I was growing up, so there's a good competition between us now, and there's always a good battle between us, so it's good to get over the line again today.
Middleton, obviously they won all 9 of their regular league games as well. Do you think that helped to kind of took the pressure off you a small bit?
Yeah, I suppose, like, the league really is just all about kind of finding players and building a bit of momentum towards championship, so you could kind of look at it both ways really. I suppose it did and it didn't, but look, I suppose just delighted with today.
And you obviously have a bit of a break now until Charleville in the championship, obviously looking to defend your championship. What's the next few weeks going to look like?
Yeah, I think it's 4 weeks or 3 weeks to the championship. Very tough game against Charleville. You know, we were lucky to beat them last year. They're a really good team, they're an up and coming team, they're very strong, very physical, so it'll be a huge test, and so we just have to put our head down now and get ourselves right for that game in Castle Notch.
And just looking at the game there, like, how much did the fast start obviously helps, you know, 2 goals in the opening 3 minutes?
Yeah, it's huge. We were actually kind of looking at that as well, to be fair, in training last few weeks, just get a fast start, you know, just put our stamp on the game, and that's what we got today, and it probably got us over the line in the end really.
And finally, obviously you had a hugely successful season last year in the league and the championship. I'm sure you'll be looking to replicate today, and hopefully today will be something to build on, yeah?
Yeah, look, just day by day really, you take it as you go, so we just celebrate today now and put our heads down again for 2 weeks time, 3 weeks time.
Congratulations, Jack.
Yeah, Jack O'Connor, a fine hurler there, and a man surely disappointed he wasn't involved in the Cork panel this year. Moving on to the Division 2 final, and here's Harry speaking with Conleth Ryan of Bride Rovers.
So delighted to be joined now by Conleth Ryan, captain of Bride Rovers. Conleth, congratulations, back-to-back league champions, how's that sound?
Yeah, it's great, it's great momentum. I suppose we went a lot of years with nothing, just to take anything, you take whatever's given to you, and it's as we won it last year, it gave us great momentum going into the championship, and hopefully we can carry that momentum going forward this year.
Yeah, I mean, you have such a young team as well, like, and it's just so important to enjoy these days, because as you said, they don't come around every year, and you know, you've now had two come around at once all of a sudden.
Yeah, I suppose you never know what's going to happen every time you start training in January. You just don't know what lies ahead, and thankfully this year we managed to go through a good league campaign. Aaron's Own got the clip on us earlier on in the league, but we managed to get back at them today and get the victory.
Yeah, do you think that came in the regular league season actually helped, and it kind of, you know, you knew what you were going to expect today, and it really helped you to get over the line?
Yeah, it did. I suppose it gave us an insight into the way we they played last day, and the way they kind of got on top of us in that match. We tried to rectify that problem today, and look, thankfully it worked. That's when you do your homework like that and it pays off, it's a real great feeling.
Just talks through the game, obviously, like, a very tough game in terms of the conditions as well, like 28 degree heat. How was it playing out there?
It's very tough. Look, I suppose there with the last couple of weeks we've been training in the heat anyway, so you're kind of used to the sweat pouring off you, but today is just something you can't prepare for that. But it's the same for every other player, the 30 fellas in the field, everybody's in the heat, and I suppose you just kind of have to give it your all more than anything, keep the water coming.
And obviously you had a blistering start, like, that must have really helped just to give you a platform to build on as well for the rest of the game.
It does, yeah, but when you go in at half time then you try to keep the heads cool, calm down a small bit, and then kind of carry it on to the second half, and thankfully we did.
And like just the word as well in your discipline today, because like Aaron's own, they maybe were, you know, they got away with one or two decisions today, but you never really got embroiled in a fight. There's a real sense of discipline in this team, isn't there?
Yeah, well, that's all thanks to Stephen Glasgow, thankfully. He really crucifies us in trainings whenever we're not listening. We've done a lot of press ups and push ups this year, and I think that might be the thing that got us over the line today, maybe.
You didn't want to do any more press ups?
Eyes were over on the sideline waiting.
Now, obviously, first championship in 6 years, first Premier Championship in 6 years coming up. What's the next few weeks going to look like?
Yeah, look, it's just preparing. We've always felt like we deserve to be there. We won it last year and we feel like we're back where we belong. So we're going to carry with momentum from today. We put today behind us and now just get ready. 3 weeks' time now, and that's take on Newstown, and that's it.
And like, obviously, you've secured promotion now. What would your sort of goals be for the championship? Because obviously, you are a new team coming into it, but as you said, you do feel like you belong there. You really want to stay there now, don't you, for the coming years?
Oh, it's not just about staying there, it's about competing. It's about getting over Newstown, getting out to group stage, and take one game at a time.
And obviously, Newstown, St. Finbarr's and Middleton, what do you make of the three of those teams in your group?
Great challenge. Can't wait to take them on.
And finally, you must really hope this is just a platform to build on for the rest of the season.
That's it, exactly. It's any bit of momentum you can get like that, you'll make the most of it.
Anyways, congratulations, sir.
Yeah, that was Barry speaking to Conleth Ryan in a wind tunnel at the end. Moving on now, and we're going to hear from Aaron's own manager, Brendan O'Riordan.
So delighted to be joined by Brendan, head coach of Aaron's own. Brendan, obviously tough defeat today. What do you make of it?
Yeah, it was a very hard game. Bray Rovers were in really good form. They had inter-county players back, played with great intensity, dictated the pattern of the game, and we were always kind of on the back foot. We were always second best, you know.
Obviously the fast start they had must have really been tough to come back from, wasn't it?
Yeah, I suppose with the bit of the wind and the way that the pitch was, you know, it gave them kind of early momentum. We did talk about our start before the game. We were conscious of the fact we needed to start from the first whistle and to start with intensity, but just unfortunately it wasn't there today for whatever reason.
And obviously you did have a bit of a response in the second half. That response must still please you though.
Yeah, I suppose we did. A couple of hard words at some individuals at halftime about the work rate, and look, you're always going to have a part of the game where you'll have a passage of play, I suppose, but really we were a little bit better in the second half, but we never came close to closing the gap really.
Overall though, you still must be sort of pleased with the league phase. I mean, you won 9 of your 8 games and you're still getting promoted, which of course you missed out on last year.
Yeah, I suppose that was the main thing, to get promoted, to be playing in a higher standard of hurling next year, and you learn more from a defeat than a win. So I think we've learned a lot today, and we've a bit of soul searching to do and lots of things to work on before first round of the championship.
Obviously it's the first time Aaron's own won't be in the Premier Championship since 1988. It must just be the main goal this year, just to get back there, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is, but I think really we just have to kind of focus one game at a time, you know. It's like really, really difficult to get to win a championship at any grade, and if we get overly focused on promotion, you know, we forget about the small details that are needed, you know, to win the first 10 minutes the next day, to make sure we get that right start, you know, against the Pearsic in round one.
And what's sort of the next few weeks going to look up leading up to that first championship game against St Pearsic?
Yeah, I suppose we've 21 days to the next game, so we need to plan our training meticulously, get a challenge game in. So I think we've a lot of go through the video, pick up things we need to improve on, and maybe have a further chat with the players, get a bit more detail from them in terms of what they felt went wrong.
And just finally, your first year obviously in charge, what was your assessment of the year so far as we now kind of come up to the championship season?
Yeah, like it's, you know, it's obviously very busy, but we've a real good group of players. They are very interested, they are really committed, so we've a good management team in place. So we have made lots of progress, we are improving. So so far it's been kind of fairly positive, but ultimately you'll be judging championship, I suppose, and people will reserve judgment until the championship ends, so we'll see how that goes.
Best luck for championship. Yeah. Commiserations.
Yeah, thanks very much.
All right, and that's all we have time for in the first half. Loads coming in the second. We're going to hear from Maurice Moore of Cork All-Ireland minor football coaching fame, as well as plenty of LGFA action. Don't go anywhere. The Big Red. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour or so. And the latest from Croker is Louth's 9 points to Mayo's 1-8. 25 minutes gone on the clock, but Louth have lost one of their superstars to injury in Craig Lennon in the backs. Going back to Leaside now. And what a win for the Cork minor team in the All-Ireland football final. The lads really put pride back in that Cork jersey with their win over Tyrone. A man central to that was coach Maurice Moore, who was in conversation with Ger McCarthy.
Maurice, first of all, congratulations. All-Ireland champions. What a fantastic feeling, I would imagine. We're a week after it, but basking in the afterglow of it still?
Yeah, basking in it, I suppose. It's been a great week. I suppose you'd be tracking what the players are getting up to over the week. And that's kind of our celebrations more than anything else with the age group that's in it. They were off in Barry Row. They've been up in Ballincollig. I think they're up in Middleton. I think they're heading off towards Liscarroll as well, over towards Gabriel and all of that, over in the school and so on. But they've had a great week. Yeah.
Important to do it because the effort and time and everything that went into it, the blood, sweat and tears, they get to enjoy it now. But it also, when it goes around the county, Maurice, as you know, inspires the next generation.
Yeah, it does. And look, I suppose this bunch have been building since October. And, you know, when you see the celebrations, no, that doesn't just happen if they haven't bonded over the year. So they've had a great year with regards to, you know, team bonding and so on. But I suppose the fruition of it all here is when we see, you know, all the players on the pitch after the match and the celebration, the emotion and so on. And it's important that they enjoy it now over the next few weeks. I know a lot of them are going on holidays and so on and be back then playing club championship. So they won't be long coming back down to Earth again.
Yeah. The game has been covered, the excitement, the finish, the comeback. Were you in any doubt at any stage that this team were capable of coming back the way they did?
You know, I think I mentioned it during the week that, you know, in every game we've played, we've had a purple patch and we hadn't hit the purple patch at that stage. I knew at some stage we would get it. I knew our, you know, Dermot Hayes has done a fantastic job with the S&C. And I knew at some stage we would get that, you know, that patch where we can, you know, get control of things, get control of kickouts, get control of landing zones, get control of the key players and the opposition, and eventually turn it in our favour. And, you know, some of the players stepped up. I mean, I mentioned Owen Hearn and Joe Miskell during the week already. But a lot of our defenders, Gabriel, came on and made a fantastic, you know, introduction. As soon as he did, he tidied them up, you know. But, yeah.
It's a panel effort. It's a squad effort. You used a huge amount of players this year. That was one other thing I wanted to ask you and Keith about, because, you know, sometimes you see a minor team that's the 15 to 17 to 18, but this was every one of the 30 made a contribution at some stage.
Yeah, the big thing was we 29 players from across the county, our 29 clubs represented from across the county, and we had 31 players that played championship football this year. And it was great to see, even you see your own club man there, Fiona Donovan, he came on in the semi-final. And, you know, he came on, you know, there was 10 or 15 minutes to go, and he was coming on to do a job for us, and he came on and did a massive job. And that was his first introduction to inter-county football. So you see that across the board, all of the 31 players that were involved, they contributed massively. And, you know, beyond that then as well, you see in training sessions we had 35 players. Unfortunately we didn't get all 35 game time, but inside the matches we play there on a Wednesday or Thursday night, the A versus B games, without their push and hard and graft and so on, pushing the players that were starting, we wouldn't have got over the line.
So it wasn't a conscious thing at all that we've got to put 31, 29 players out in the pitches. It just happened organically.
No, it happened organically. We knew that everybody was there, could do a job for us. And when we're putting a player on, it's okay. Can he fit into the jigsaw here? And he absolutely can. So all of those players, you know, and beyond that as well, when they go on to under 20, there will be players playing under 20 from this age group that probably won't have been in the 35. And that's important for players to realise, you know, you're not going to get everybody at that moment in time. That's all it is a little photo, a snap of a moment in time. So the players that haven't been on the panel this year, look, there'll be an opportunity for you going forward as well, I'm sure.
One of the things that struck me in the minor matches that we would have covered on the Big Red Bench, certainly in the Munster Championship and the Kerry games in particular, the intensity at minor level now, at inter-county level, is off the charts. It is, you know, you've got to be so well prepared, and you were. You've got to have, you know, total, utter commitment to the cause, which you did as well. But what I've noticed this year with minor over the last few years, and I'm asking you now as a coach, do you see it ratcheting up? It's become so competitive. Look at the teams that you beat to win this All-Ireland as well, that what you do with your club is so important, but when you take that step up, no, it's getting more and more intense. It's a good thing because it's a better product, but is that making sense?
I think at minor football level there, I mentioned during the week as well, look, over the last 25 to 30 years, there's been 14 different counties winning All-Ireland Minor. That'll just tell you how competitive it is. So Cork football is in a really good place because it's able to compete at this level, you know, consistently. You know, you had the likes of Tipperary winning an All-Ireland minor there 10 years ago or so, and so on. So there are counties around Ireland that are forcing the standards up. And because it's so competitive, it's so difficult, you know, you'd think sometimes that you're in a bad place if you're not winning, but it's not about that. Once you can compete consistently, I think the standards are raised. And look, the new rules have made a big difference to it as well. It's brought a lot of other counties into it to make it, you know, more competitive for them as well. And you even see, today, Loud and Mayo in the semi-final, and tomorrow Dublin and Kerry. But there's been a lot of teams, you know, in the quarterfinals that maybe, you know, 10 years ago mightn't have been in that position.
A lot of fans will be saying they want as many of this minor panel now to move into the under-20s, win an All-Ireland under-20, then move up to senior, win an All-Ireland senior. It doesn't work like that, and you know it doesn't work like that as you look at me. But are there players, without naming them, that you've seen this year that you think have the potential to play senior and play senior in a successful Cork team?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at, and like I mentioned there earlier, there are players probably now that weren't in this 35 that will go on to play Cork senior. With like obvious names there, you see Owen Hearn, you see Rory, you see Joe Miskell, all these boys. You know, it doesn't happen that necessarily that they'll be playing senior. There's a lot of hard graft. There's a lot of things to go on in their lives in the meantime that could change for them and, you know, change, you know, how they might be playing football in 5 years' time. You'd be hoping that they will. Yeah. And that's our main target is, can they go home and be a good club player? And the bonus then is if you get two or three players to go up to play into county senior, because it is such a hard thing to get up to.
Yeah. Just finally, we've talked about the players, they're minors. We forget that sometimes when we're watching them. But the people behind the minors, the families that have supported them and G throughout the year, and your own families as well. Like, it's a long haul. It's a huge commitment for the management team and for the players. But I got, what when I think of this minor setup this year, I think club. There was a vibe. And I know Keith is responsible for a lot of that. But you don't win an All-Ireland without that vibe.
Yeah, look, I suppose we've come down here to Hamilla in Clonakilty a lot over the year, and even the year we won with the under-20, we've come down here as well. And we just wanted to, and you know, we've been to Kilmichael, we've been to Mallow, we've been to different places over the year. It's important to get around to different clubs. But yeah, I think you're right. The club thing is massive. All these players are going to go back to their club now. They're playing club championship during the week, one under 16 and minor over the next, you know, few weeks and so on. So they'll be coming back down to earth. They'll be getting a lot of hassle on the pitches from players as well, trying to take them back down to earth. But yeah, I think it is important for clubs. Yeah.
Congratulations and well done. Fantastic.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, brilliant stuff from Maurice Moore there, part of the minor setup with that fantastic All-Ireland victory. Moving on, and Cork will face Roscommon in the 2026 Zucar All-Ireland LGFA Under-18A Championship Final following victory over Dublin at Moyne Temple Suhi GA Grounds in Tipperary last Thursday evening. The defending champions are through to a second consecutive All-Ireland Under-18 decider off the back of a terrific display. Despite kicking 12 wides, Kieran O'Shea's team had enough experience and firepower to see off Dublin for the second year in a row, winning 2-15 to 1-11. And after the match, the Big Red Bench's Ger McCarthy spoke to Cork manager Kieran O'Shea, coach Martin Crummy, and team captain Laura Walsh. And here he is first with Kieran O'Shea.
Okay, there was a period in that first half where you kicked 6-7 wides. Were you getting worried at that stage?
No, look, in fairness, we knew it ourselves, and we had a chat with the girls in half time, and we just recessed, and we just said that, look, we get in there, just a small bit of composure, manage the game, and I thought they did that in the second half very well, you know.
Fantastic victory for you, going to an All-Ireland final for the second consecutive year. What won for you in the second half?
I think, to be honest, it was that we just didn't panic. We told the girls at half time just to control the game, manage it. I thought they did very well there. You know, we told them not to be giving away the possession easy, pick the right pass, and fairness, it was just the composure, you know, the word panic. We just said not to panic in the second half, just play our football like we always do, and that will come true in the end, which it did.
Always came a crucial time for you too.
They did, yeah. I suppose, look, obviously when you're in the first half, we had missed so much that, you know, we knew those goal chances would come too, but I suppose the key we were saying at half time was we were focusing on the positive, and the positive were we were creating opportunities, and we just weren't converting them. But we said, look, we will continue to create those chances in the second half, and we do just small bit of composure for the box. In fairness, the girls, they did that very well tonight.
How much has last year's experience helped you in a semi-final situation like today, now against a good Dublin team?
Yeah, I suppose, look, there was a lot of similarities, you know, like it was a really hot night as well, and we had prepared well for it. But you know, there is that pressure with the girls, and there is that bit of nerves and everything going to game, but it's natural. But in fairness, they stood up here in the second half when it counted, and we were absolutely delighted with them.
And overall, for all Ireland final, look forward to.
Yeah, it's great. Like, you know, I'm delighted for them. They put in so much work since we did trials early in November, and we talked about it half time. Is that actually, you know, that training in Cork on those wet, cold nights, you know, this is where it's all about, and this is where we wanted to be in All Ireland semi final. So we're delighted now to be going to an All Ireland final.
Congrats, Kieran. Look forward to it.
Thanks.
Let's hear now from Martin Crummy.
Martin, fantastic performance from your team tonight, and it had to be because Dublin really put it up to you.
Yeah, look, we knew what they were all about, especially from last year in the All-Ireland final. I suppose they had a point to prove themselves today, but we just said to the girls we'd stick to our game plan, what we worked on all year, and thankfully they managed the game excellently. Very professional performance from such a young squad of girls, so they were outstanding, controlled the game in the second half. Obviously things to work on. I think we're playing Roscommon, someone mentioned there, in the final, and we've had a look at them and they're very athletic, kind of an imposing team, so they'll be putting another plan in place for the next couple of weeks, but give the girls a rest now for a few days and back at it next week.
How much did it help that you play in such hot and humid conditions? You might experience the same in the final.
Yeah, well, thankfully, typically not for Ireland, is that we've been used to it over the last few weeks of training, so we've kind of adapted well enough. We weren't going to use that as an excuse tonight, and thankfully it's got a bit cooler there. There was a small bit of a breeze. Obviously we had that in the first half. Probably didn't score as much as we should have. I think we had 12 and two drops short as well, so we thought we'd maybe thrown it away, but we had a controlled half time there. Had to spoke to the girls, absolutely no panic as always, stuck to the game plan, and I thought in the second half the game management was excellent, superb.
And another day out for the Cork Minors, two consecutive All-Ireland finals, fantastic achievement.
Unbelievable, yeah.
But you want to win it.
We want to win it, yeah. I suppose, I think we spoke to you, Ger, at the presentation last year at the Rebel Logo Awards, and we said like we're on back for the sake of it, so it's great having a new bunch of girls coming in, something new to work with, and they listen, and they kind of stick to game plans, and their fitness levels are through the roof, so hopefully in another 2 weeks we are where we want to be. It's just trying to get over the line, but Roscommon will come hard at us, so we have to be prepared for that.
Congratulations, well done.
Thanks, Sherry.
And lastly, it's time to hear from Captain Laura Walsh.
Laura, congratulations. An All-Ireland final for the second year in a row for the Cork Minors. How does that feel?
Oh, just delighted to get over the line, to be honest. Obviously, we're 2 months off, so we didn't really know how it was going to go. But tough match, but I think we played well as a team.
Dublin really put it up to you, but you got goals at crucial times, both halves.
Yeah, I suppose the goals are they're nice to get when they go in and kind of kill off the momentum of the other team. So it's nice to get them Irish at good times as well.
I asked your manager, how much did last year's experience help you tonight against Dublin?
I think it's, you know, obviously getting over the line last year gives you confidence that you can do it again this year, and obviously there's a nice few on the team there that were there last year and obviously experienced it, so yeah. Definitely adds to it, yeah.
Hot conditions as well, wasn't easy tonight.
Very warm, and even half seven, I'd say, you know, we thought we'd have to cool down a bit, but no, it was tough, but you know, tough for both teams, so we can't really complain.
And just finally an All-Ireland final to look forward to?
Yeah, really looking forward to that one now, to be honest. I don't know if it's down in Roscommon, but we'll be looking forward to it anyways.
All the very best with that.
Thanks very much. Thanks, sir.
Brilliant stuff from Laura there. And moving it on, and as part of my interviews with AIB during the week, I was lucky enough to get the chat to former Armasta Oisín McConville, manager of the Wicklow team, who today won the Tailteann Cup after coming from behind in a 12-point deficit, one of the all-time great comebacks in Croker. He spoke to me about the upcoming final, his media career, his own struggles with gambling, and his disappointment of Armagh's year.
Yeah, no, absolutely looking forward to it. Look, it's been a brave old journey to get here. You know what I mean? We've been striving for 4 years to try and actually get to the final. Last year, we would have felt we were close against Limerick, but didn't do it in the end. Didn't think we'd have the opportunity as quickly again, and here we are in the final. So, I mean, the work has gone into getting here. You know, we've had some tough days over the last 12 months, but the fact that we're here, the bit of colour, what you see, you know, as far as the excitement and Wicklow and all that there, like, that's brilliant. That's something that I think you can get a lot of energy off, as long as you don't get too caught up in the middle of it. But look, it is a big day. We know that. And, you know, the support we will have, the support we've had in the last couple of games has been brilliant and has really helped us to kick on to the next level.
Goes around Wicklow, like support things everywhere, flags and all that.
It's just it just reminds me of, you know, Armagh in the All Ireland final in 2024. The excitement and the buzz and the possibilities, and there's a lot of people who are taking a massive interest in Wicklow football, maybe that haven't done for some time, and that's brilliant to see. I love to see that. So we're trying to embrace it as best we can.
Don, what do you think you're going to bring to the table?
Well, look, they've been playing at a seriously high level. I mean, there was a stage, you know, at the start of the Ulster Championship, they're after beating Donegal quite convincingly, and you think, right, well, they're a team destined for bigger things. I know it hasn't worked out that way for them, but they'll feel as if this is a stepping stone to go back and play at that level. They're obviously, they've been Division 2, dropped to Division 3, won fairly easy promotion back up to Division 2 now, so they have been playing at a different level than us. We appreciate that. We need to get up to that. That's the first part of our thing, is to try and get our performance levels up so we can compete with them, and then after that we can try and hone in on what their weaknesses are and what their strengths are. And if you want to talk about individuals, you look at Murdoch, you look at Guinness, you look at Pat Havern, you look at the new keeper they have in Ronan Bourne, and you know, they've all come in and done, he's come in and he's done so well, and the other lads are established, experienced inter-county footballers who want to play at the next level. So it's up to us not just to be happy with being in the final, but to actually make sure that we offer them a massive challenge, and if they are going to win it, then they're going to have to fight for it.
You're a man who wears a lot of hats. The media one is one I'd be interested in. I love the Gas Social. How did you start in with media in the first place?
I finished in 2008 in inter-county football, and probably had already 2 years under my belt doing bits and pieces for BBC. That's how I was introduced to it. Enjoyed it. Initially wasn't that great at it, but I suppose the more you do, the better you get at it. There was an opportunity, obviously, with the GAA Social then. I've already said today, most people would not mix being an inter-county footballer and doing a podcast, but I think they're a great foil for each other, because I do think I am really interested in more so the people behind what's happening within the GAA, and that's sort of something that we've found a little niche there, that we sort of try and go a little bit more under the skin. And I suppose through my own life, through the struggles that I had, I'm interested in see how people are navigating life in what is now a pretty complex society, whether that be young people or older people or people who've been inter-county footballers or club footballers or managers or coaches or whatever it is, and what that transition looks like afterwards. So I think the way you frame the question, you think, you know, they're not a match made in heaven, but for me it works, and for the people at home it sort of works, because I do spend a lot of time, you know, on the road away from the house, and I suppose the punditry end of things does give me an opportunity to keep a grasp on what's happening, really.
How would you get, it'd be tough to get information out of players at the best of times, but how do you know what players to even get a story out of, and then how would you actually get there if you won't get to the meat of it?
What normally happens is we might hear something in the grapevine, and then we approach people. Some people are really happy to talk about it, some people aren't. I suppose a lot of people will go to the Jody Gormley thing. When we went to Jody Gormley initially to talk about his battles, you know, he says, I'm absolutely delayed you just rung me, because I was never going to contact you, but I want people to know about, you know, what my struggles are, what the struggles are in general, my condition, all that sort of thing. He was so brave, and he has helped so many people as a result of him, and that's only one example, you know. But yeah, we usually hear stuff in the grapevine, and then we approach the individual. So as I say, some will embrace it, want to do it, some won't, and that's fine as well. So and then we, as I say, when we have somebody sitting in the seat, we do try and dig a little bit deeper. I think people know what's coming now as well. Do you know what I mean? People who agree to it sort of know that, you know, we are going to dive a little bit deeper into their lives, and I find it really not just interesting, but I'm in awe of people who can, you know, come on and really, you know, tease out what's going on in their life, where their lives are at, and, you know, what they've been through or whatever else, or what they're even going through.
Do you think, I suppose, having your own struggles with gambling, does that allow them to come forward to you a bit more?
I think it definitely makes things a little bit easier. Yeah, it definitely does. And a lot of those people that I might have had some interaction with along the way, although the people who myself and Thomas would have had a handle on we've used up all of those contacts, and we're now looking at different stories from and we're probably trying to spread the net a wee bit wider as well and talk about different things and taboo subjects that have never been talked about before. So in that regard, we are at some weeks completely out of our depth, but we're learning all the time.
World Cup is on. Like, is it a tougher time in particular for now for young people to stay away from gambling?
Yeah, it definitely is. I think, look, there's so many avenues now into gambling. There's so much accessibility, whether it be slots or traditional sports betting or whatever it happens to be. But I think we've introduced so many more people to gambling as a result of the accessibility, the things we can gamble on, and sporting events are massive. Do you know what I mean? I'm an ambassador for gamblingcare.ie, and one of the things we have started to do is we have started to recognise when the spikes in gambling are. So as you say, around the World Cup, around, you know, Grand Nationals, Euro, GA Championship, whatever it happens to be. So we've tried to recognise that and tried to counteract that as much as possible. But yeah, I think it is a really tough time for young people, for everybody. It's a really tough time for everybody because a lot of people go into gambling the same way as I did. They go in thinking this is a very harmless pastime, and all of a sudden, within a number of months or years, they're really struggling. And as a result of them really struggling, it's difficult then to put your hand up and reach out for help, because people just don't want to do that. It's understandable. I didn't want to put my hand up and reach out for help, but I suppose people realise now that the help is there, and that definitely has lifted the stigma a wee bit and also brought a lot of people forward to ask for help quicker than you would imagine.
What is it about sports betting in particular that it seems different? You know, if I probably gambling myself, it always seemed different than going into slots or going into a casino. Is it just because people seem to think they know what they're on about, or is it something about sports that seems to attract people and make them really think it's okay?
So, like, if you want to talk about, there's not a lot of research around gambling, but if you want to talk about research, so people who play competitive sport are twice as likely to become compulsive gamblers. People who play competitive team sport are three times more likely to become compulsive gamblers. So what you have to look at, what's the reasons for that? So there's obviously that competitive edge. So the bookie's not going to get the better of me. That's the start of it. Sometimes within teams, you have a gambling culture. So people throw in an amount of money or whatever, and for the majority of the people who are throwing in a 10 or a 20 quid, that's fine. They won't be affected by it at all, but there is a percentage there who will end up affected. When they're affected, then what did they do? Where did they go with that? And I think just that competitive edge, they're linked. I mean, like, regardless of what sporting event you watch on television now, the odds will be thrown up, and there's just that link now between gambling and sport, and that's a link that is going to be really difficult now to break. So what do you do? Do you bang your head against a brick wall, or do you actually try and counteract it with the fact that you say, well, okay, you might be struggling a little bit with gambling and you might have a problem, but here, there is help there if you really need it. Well, how do I recognise that? So there's a couple of stages. How do I recognise I have a problem? Where do I go whenever I have that problem? And what's the end? What does the end product look for, like, for me as far as getting some help?
That's a jump around, but I know, because it's such a little time with you. But Armaz year, devastated for them?
Yeah, I was disappointed. I was in Enniskeen. We looked fairly comfortable throughout the game without putting a massive gap between the two teams. The way it ended, my in-laws are from Louth. I was happy for them. I was sick listening to them, but I was happy for them. The journey that they have come, as I say, I was delighted for them. But when I woke up the next morning and I watched the draw and I realised, I had to go to Kerry at a ferry day. 6 days was not a big enough turnaround time in order to flip what was going on in the heads, to try and turn that around, to try and get anything done as far as Kerry were concerned. It's just too small a time, and Armagh travelled on the Friday, so if you can imagine waking up on a Monday and you're gone on the Friday to play your next match against Kerry in Killarney, like it was just too much of an ask. I knew that we've missed a lot. We've missed a lot of our big players this year. As far as saves around the middle of the field, you miss Ben Creeley. Rian, obviously.
All right, unfortunately, that's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. They've just thrown in Croke Park once more. It is Mayo 2-9 to Louth's 11 points. So hopefully, whichever way you're leaning on, could it be Mayo in another final, only getting there to lose. Dan Casey signing off. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.